from the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. After a week of regular FPL service, seven teams play twice and three have blanks. But should we dive for doublers or stick with the singles? All that and more on this week's official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Hello. Well, it's been a while. Well, actually, it's only been a whole game week, but finally we have another double game week to look ahead to. Seven teams play twice in game week 33. Three teams don't feature at all. So do listen up. There's plenty of tips to help you navigate all of that ahead of us. This week, those tips come from broadcaster Ian Irving. Morning, Ian.
Good morning, Kelly.
It's also a very good morning to half of FPL family. It's Lee Bonfield.
Good morning, Kelly. Hi, everyone.
And also welcome along for the first time to broadcaster Dan Bardell. Dan, your area of expertise is Aston Villa. Perhaps not ideal timing for you given their result last week.
No, not the best run. And I've had to do plenty of podcasts on Spurs this week. So no doubt we'll be covering that game quite heavily again. And I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, but thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming along. I tell you what, let's just talk about FPL instead, shall we? Tell us, how long have you been playing the game?
I think I've been playing for virtually half my life. So I think when I was 17, 18, I started. I'm now 36. So I spent a fair chunk of my life playing Fantasy Premier League. And yeah, great to get the invite onto the podcast. A pleasure to be here. I can see that it's quite a high standard. So hopefully I'll be able to move myself up in the next few weeks and get a bit nearer some of the guys. But yeah, looking forward to being on and looking forward to talking about something that I have a keen interest in.
I noticed you've got two free hit chips left, though, Dan. So it still could change, mate. It could change.
I don't know about you, Lee. But I'm looking over my shoulder here. He's not that far behind us, is he?
Yeah, he's got the chip still in play. I think he's still got your triple captain chip to use, Dan, as well.
So it's not a play for. Yeah, everyone in my other mini league used it the week that Salah scored about 50 goals, and I didn't use it. So I've been playing catch up since then, really.
Nice.
Look at that. I'm going to be honest with you, Dan. That's the nicest this panel have ever been. But hopefully we'll be able to help you on this podcast as you helping our listeners as well. Well, before we move on to game week 33, which is huge, as I've been saying, let's reflect on game week 32 when all 20 teams played just once for once. Now, the highlights of the weekend, of course, was Manchester City 2, Liverpool 2. And as the panel predicted last week, we got goals and returns for Kevin De Bruyne, who scored again, plus assists for Joao Cancelo, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Mo Salah. Lee, what a game. I know you're a Liverpool fan, but from an FPL point of view as well, it was perfect, wasn't it? Because we got the returns, really, that we hoped for.
Unbelievable game, wasn't it? Unbelievable game. Two Premier League powers at their peaks, and certainly Klopp and Guardiola, you know, at the peak of their power as well. But you're right, Kelly, that's why we pay the premium for the likes of Trent Alexander-Arnold and Joao Cancelo, because even when the clean sheet isn't there, you've got the potential for attacking returns. And what an assist from Joao Cancelo as well. So good. So yeah, you get what you pay for when you get the Liverpool and the Man City fullbacks. But I totally agree with you from an FPL perspective and from just a pure football perspective, what a game it was, and what a title running we're going to have.
So you enjoyed that game. Did you enjoy your FPL game week?
The game, it wasn't too bad. I got 57 points when all was said and done, which actually, as a Sun non-owner, that didn't feel too bad. I managed to bench Gordon, didn't I, which was a complete disaster. I seemed to bench at least one decent haul. I did Doherty a couple of weeks ago. Now I've done Anthony Gordon. It feels like I'm benching double-digit hauls week on week at the minute, which is a bit of a disaster. But 57 points. I'm down to about 166K. So it was a small red arrow, which in a week where, like I say, I didn't have Sun, I've got to take that, you know, get my head up and move on.
Have you got your bench boost left? Sounds like you might need to play it if you have.
Well, no bench boost. No, I've got one remaining free hit. So I'm probably going to save that for a bit later on in the season. But that's the only chip I've got left, just one free hit.
Okay, well, there was no winner at the Etihad in that game, but as we said, what a game it was. Spurs, though, had a big 4-0 win at Aston Villa. Sorry, Dan. And owners of their assets, a hat-trick for Son Heung-min brought him 21 points, three assists for Harry Kane, giving him 10 points, and 12 for Dejan Kulusevski. Though Matt Doherty did get injured. We'll come on to potential replacements for him later. But Ian, the debate about which Spurs midfielder to have does rage on. But there's a reason you're making those pained noises.
Yeah, so people probably remember the last time I was on, I was getting really anxious about the fact that I didn't own Harry Kane. And I decided that the best way to do that, obviously, was to take out Son, because I had Kulusevski, Son and Doherty all together. And yeah, it's not gone very well. I took Son out 2 game weeks ago with Ivan Toney. I brought in Harry Kane and Anthony Gordon. Forget the fact I benched Gordon because it'd be even worse. But just on the plain facts, the moves ended up costing me 43 points in 2 weeks.
Ooh. If you Ouch.
Son would have been captain instead of Harry Kane. And it was a -4 hit as well. So can we move on maybe?
Okay, we've all had it, haven't we? That's the life of an FPL manager. We make a transfer with the best intentions, but it doesn't always pay off. Elsewhere then, we'll move on. It may not have been the best week for Chelsea going out of the Champions League, but it was for owners of Mason Mount and Timo Werner as they beat Southampton 6-0 and they got 19 and 15 points respectively. We'll discuss Thomas Tuchel's side a little bit more later. A quick check-up though on our FPL mini league tells us that it is still very competitive at the top. Thunderstrike has replaced the winning 11 after scoring a massive 92 points in game week 32. A shout out as well to the other highest scorer in the top 10, Abra Dubravko, who scored 86 points. Maybe you want to join but haven't yet. Why not? It's still open. 1KI KS7 is the code you need. Anyway, now, as we've been saying, double game week 33 is a big one. So let's now preview who's hot, who's not, and just how many players in action twice we actually need. So double game week 33, the double we were all really excited about until double game weeks 36 and 37 were announced and arguably trumped it. However, the seven teams that will play twice are Newcastle against Leicester and Palace. Leicester themselves play Newcastle and Everton. Burnley play West Ham and Southampton. Southampton's double is then Arsenal and Burnley. Manchester United have Norwich at home, but then they travel to Liverpool. Arsenal face Southampton and Chelsea, whilst Brighton have a tricky double against Spurs and Manchester City. So those are the fixtures. And with that many, it's still often a huge opportunity to use a chip. We asked on @OfficialFPL on Twitter just how many managers were planning to do that. 15.1% said free hit, 12% said bench boost, 6.7% triple captain, and a huge 66.3% aren't using a chip. Now, Lee, over 24,000 people voted in that. And as we heard, the majority aren't using one at all. But is this a good week for managers to use their free hit, would you say?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it could be. I mean, I've got one left and I must admit I'm looking to play a bit more aggressively in either 36 or 37. But if you are in the, I guess, fairly luxurious position of having two free hits left, then yeah, it would feel like a good game week, Kelly. I mean, mainly because you can't, as you know, play the free hit, the two free hit chips, you can't play them back to back. So if you're thinking about saving your two free hits for 36 and 37, you can't do that. You can't do that. You've got to play a free hit chip in one of either of those weeks. So yeah, game week 33 feels like as good a week as any. The only other week, I guess, you might look to play it is you might look to hold one of your free hits for 36. Then you skip 37 and you might play one in game week 38 and have kind of one last blowout for the season and pick a team of fairly differential sort of players. But yeah, if you've got the two left, then game week 33 does feel like a reasonable time to play one, Kelly.
38 might not be badly, you know. I was looking at the fixtures when I was preparing for this podcast because I've still got a free hit to play as well, which I was thinking 37 or maybe 36. But 38, you've got Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool and Manchester City, all potentially with something to play for. Maybe not in Chelsea's case, but certainly in the other three, with the title and the top four races potentially still going to be on. Arsenal have got Everton at home. Chelsea have got Watford at home. Liverpool have got Wolves at home. City have got Aston Villa at home. Add into that Tottenham away at Norwich, and you've got a lot of good teams with good fixtures. So potentially you're going to already own some of those players, which maybe negates it a little bit, but you could obviously arrange a free hit to target the optimum players from each of those teams. And there's usually a hat trick going around somewhere on the final day, isn't there? So if you could nail that, even with a captain chip, which has happened in the past with people like Theo Walcott and Olivier Giroud, 38 could end up being pretty good. So have a look if you've still got the two left, or even if you've got one when we get closer to that.
Yeah, you do get some weird and wonderful results, don't you? And actually, I still look back fondly at that Giroud hat-trick. That was the last time I beat Sam in FPL, actually, is when I had Giroud captain on that final day.
Since I had then, Giroud captain as well.
A bit downhill since then, to be honest with you. But yeah, I look back fondly on that day.
My best move ever, that. Fantastic.
Yeah, fond memories there. Well, going back to game week 33, interestingly, just three of the 10 most bought players in the game week have two matches. That's Leicester's James Maddison, along with Newcastle duo Fabian Schär and Chris Wood. So, Dan, when we look at this double game week, how many players do you currently have that play twice? And how many double game week players do you think that managers need?
I think I've got five And I would say that's probably a good minimum to look at. I think sometimes with a double game week, you can go a bit crazy and do a little bit too much, but you look at the teams that are playing and it doesn't always end up being beneficial. And I'm looking at it and thinking this might be one of those weeks where you could end up doing too much. I've done it previously. I've done it with Veghorst this season. But you know, Burnley have had a lot of double game weeks this season, haven't you? So you find yourself tempted to put them in, but then they haven't been doing great. They've only won three games all season, or four games all season, I think it is. So you can get talked into doing too much in your head. So I'd be wary of that. But I think five is probably a good minimum to have. I don't think you'd want any less than that. But I'm just looking at it now, and I think there's some decent value in Newcastle, just because they're playing against Leicester at home and they've got Palace. They're two winnable games for Newcastle, both at home. They've done well at home under Howe. And I'm just thinking of the set pieces against Leicester. Leicester have conceded so many goals from set pieces this season. I've already got Big Dan Burn at centre-back. I'm looking at Chris Wood, who's someone who's wronged me a few times in FPL before. But just thinking, because of those set pieces and he's now on penalties, I just think that there's a couple of Newcastle players that might be worth a look.
Fabian Scher as well is one of the most transferred in players of this game week. Can you see value in that Newcastle defence, Ian?
Yeah, especially him. I mean, no defender over the last seven game weeks have had more goal attempts than him. And he's obviously scored a couple of goals as well. He took a free kick at Tottenham, which is maybe something to keep an eye on, but he's always a target for the set pieces. So like Dan's saying, if you are going to exploit that, maybe he's the ideal person. I think he's only 4.4 million as well. So there's not much risk attached to that, especially if you've got Doherty in your team now and you need to move down to someone to free up a little bit of funds. You probably get about half a million out of that move. So yeah, I definitely think he's a good option.
Yeah, it's a good shout that, Ian. And actually, no Willock or Fraser for Newcastle. So yeah, I think you're both right, guys. I think we could potentially see a Newcastle that are a bit more direct, might play to their strengths a bit more. And if they're, you know, if they're smart, like Dan's suggesting, and they prey on the weaknesses from Leicester at set pieces, then yeah, have a look at Dan Burn, have a look at Shaw, have a look at Chris Wood. You know, maybe it is just a case of, you know, get the ball in the mixer and see what happens without Willock and Fraser there to pull the strings.
Talking of Leicester, who Newcastle face, Leicester have the most doubles of anyone. They've got three in the last six game weeks. Lee, last week you bought in James Maddison, I imagine, with an eye on the amount of fixtures he's got. But do you look at their double and think this is pretty attractive as well, facing Newcastle and then playing Everton as well?
Yeah, it looks pretty good, doesn't it? It looks pretty good. And last week I was like, okay, well, I looked ahead and I thought, well, okay, three double game weeks. I've got to invest in Leicester in some way. And it was pretty 50-50, I have to say, between Barnes and Maddison. I was looking at the both of them. But actually, having assessed the previous game week in game week 32, having now looked at how they're playing in Europe as well, I'm starting to feel like Harvey Barnes might be just lacking a little bit of form, or lacking a bit of the form that he had a few weeks ago. And actually, it's Maddison now that's ticking over the points and getting the assists. And, you know, when he's on corners and set pieces as well, you know that even if he has a bad game in terms of the underlying stats, there's always the chance that he gets an assist there somewhere. And I particularly like the way that he and Iheanacho are playing up front as well. I feel like Iheanacho, who, by the way, is a reasonable FPL asset in his own right, although you've got Daka and I think Vardy may be having a bit more of a problem with his knee, so maybe Iheanacho comes in, but there is some uncertainty there. But the fact that Maddison's starting to play on the right of that front three, and Iheanacho is such a workhorse, he's really giving the defenders something to think about, and he's freeing up time and space for Maddison to do his thing on that right-hand side. So of the two, I really do like James Maddison. I'm pretty happy that I've got him in my team. You've got assist threat, but now you've got a bit of goal threat as well, thanks to the pairing up top with Iheanacho.
I mean, I was trying to work out why I've got Iheanacho. And obviously that's the reason I did it, because I knew they had some double game weeks coming up. But then he didn't play last week. And then he was sat on my bench the week before when he scored against Manchester United. So he's one that I'm starting to get a little bit antsy about. But you've kind of just talked me into keeping him in my lineup. But I want to bring a striker out, and he was the guy I was looking at.
The issue with Leicester is the fact that they're still in Europe, isn't it? So keep a close eye on the scoreline tonight. If they go through, it's going to be an issue that we're going to have to continue to navigate. If they go out, obviously that makes it a lot more simple for FPL managers. But also there'll be clues in the team sheet, I'd imagine, as well, as to who starts that game, who's getting a rest where. James Maddison a few weeks ago got two matches, I think, where he didn't start. And we were beginning to think that Harvey Barnes had the security of starts over him. And then obviously now it's turned around and it's Harvey Barnes who's the one who's been rested. So yeah, there's definitely options in Leicester, but there is an element of risk depending on what happens in Europe later. So if you listen to this before the game, don't do anything until the match, after the game, go and have a look at who played and then decide from there, and listen to Brendan Rodgers' press conference as well to see what the updates are with team news and injuries.
And by the way, and you know, I've sat here and I was saying, you know, it's all about Maddison and Barnes. If you're struggling to find the funds for those guys, then, you know, Kieran Dewsbury-Hall had a fantastic game in game week 32, didn't he, with a goal and assist. He's only 4.4. You know, what a young talent he looks like as well. So if you're struggling for funds to get up there, but you do want to invest in the Leicester midfield, then have a look at him too.
Now, Ian, Manchester United are the main club that you cover. And on paper, when they have a double game week, normally we would all be incredibly excited, wouldn't we? But given their form and the fact it's a very mixed couple of games, Norwich at home at first, very appealing, and then Liverpool, how much should we target them?
It's a tricky one, this. Normally I'd be saying pile on, especially with that fixture against Norwich. And weirdly, United have beaten Norwich 4-0. In four of their last five home meetings against them in all competitions, which is a bit of a quirk, although they did lose the other game in that sequence, but we'll brush over that. the fact is that United's form, certainly in the last two matches against Leicester and Everton, has been worrying, and that's probably making me hesitant to sort of back United in this double game week. That said, if the fixture's available, Norwich at home has to be one of the best. Even though they won last week, their form across the season has been poor. They've got the worst defence statistically throughout the campaign as well. And if United are going to hit form and hit goals against anyone, you'd imagine it's going to be that Norwich home game. And there's options in their team, definitely. I think Bruno Fernandes is probably just about the best captain across the players who have doubles, just because that Norwich game could be so explosive. And when United have played the weaker teams recently at home, he's been a little bit further forward. I think back to the Watford game, how on earth he didn't get a return or even a double-digit return in that game, I have no idea. He had so many chances and so many shots. I like Alex Tellez as well for this week. I don't know if I'd do it if I didn't have a free hit or I was sort of dead-ending into wildcarding or something like that, because I'm not sure I'd want him much for the rest of the campaign. But this week at home to Norwich, he's on a lot of set pieces. He put in 13 crosses against Everton alone, so that gives you an idea of how much he's trying to create down that left-hand side. Luke Shaw's injured for the minute as well, and he's only 5.0, so he's a decent option. Even, dare I say, Marcus Rashford. There were signs against Everton that he was beginning to get back to his best. He's done well against Norwich in the past as well. I think he scored two the last time they were at Old Trafford in the Premier League. He had more shots than any United player at Goodison Park. He's 9.4 though, so maybe a bit too expensive. And I guess Jadon Sancho at 8.9 is a cheaper alternative.
I wrote down before we came on, stay away from them. You can't trust them at all. But then last night I couldn't sleep. I, for some reason, went into a bit of a Ronaldo hole and started looking at Ronaldo. I mean, I presume he'll be available for both games, but I was just looking into him a little bit. And 78 of his 118 points this season have come at home. There's four times this season he's got 12 points or more. You know, the Norwich game alone, I'm starting to think, is he worth bringing in as a captain? You kind of can discount the Liverpool game a little bit because he's only got 3-13 against Liverpool and one of them was for Real Madrid. But I'm just looking at that home game against Norwich and thinking, I personally need to do something. I need to do something different. So I'm thinking about triple captain in Ronaldo. I just need to free up some funds slightly.
Goodness me. What a bombshell that is, Dan.
I need to do something.
Wow.
Do it now, Dan, live on the pod.
Yeah.
You'll get this from Ian, Dan. He's a very much a do it now, do it now. Whereas I'll give you a little bit more, I don't know, I'll just maybe rein it in a little bit. I think Ronaldo's had 10 blanks in the 14 games that Ralf Rangnick has been in charge at Manchester United. So I would maybe rein it in a little bit on the Cristiano Ronaldo piece. Bruno Fernandes, on the other hand, tends to play a little bit further forward against the weaker teams. So if I was going to go in on either Ronaldo or Bruno, I think I'd be tempted on Bruno Fernandes, you know, especially if I was going to play a triple captain chip. I think it'd be Bruno over Ronaldo. And of course, you've got to think about that second game, you know, going away to Liverpool is, you know, obviously not going to be easy for Manchester United. So you are kind of all in on that Norwich game. And of course, Norwich have come off the back of a fairly morale-boosting win against Burnley, you know, an important win for them. And all of a sudden, maybe there's a bit of belief down at Carrow Road that they can get out of it or at least attempt to. So I think I'd agree with your first comment, Dan. I'm not sure that I'm going to be going in at all on Manchester United in game week 33. However, if you were going to play the free hit chip in game week 33, then I think I would go for either one of Ronaldo or Bruno. Not sure I'd go for both.
What about Arsenal though, Lee? Because it's been a frustrating couple of games and game weeks for FPL managers that own Arsenal players. A lot of managers will probably have two or even three Arsenal players that have been building it with this week in mind.
Yeah, I've got three of them. I've got Ramsdale and I've got Saka and I've got Lacazette. And I feel a little bit maybe over-invested in Arsenal at the minute, Kelly, I have to say. I think the injury, they've had a couple of key injuries, right? So, I mean, clearly defensively they are poorer, I think, without Kieran Tierney, but it's Thomas Partey missing in the middle that really makes the difference. And then when you add to the fact that, you know, they're missing him and they've put Granit Xhaka at left back, you're ripping the heart, you're ripping the defensive heart out the midfield. And that worries me, and that's affecting their game. So from an FPL perspective, I'm a bit worried about owning Saka and Lacazette, particularly when I look at that Brighton game. Brighton were great, right? Really, really good. We've called them the XG Kings, haven't we, a lot over the course of this season, where they post some really good underlying stats, but it never really manifests into FPL points. Well, it really came to the fore. And actually, interestingly, I looked at some of the underlying stats for Brighton in that Arsenal game. They weren't quite as good as they have posted in previous games, but of course then got the win. So it was a very anti-Brighton result. But yeah, I'm kind of looking at Lacazette in particular, who hasn't now scored from open play since mid-December for Arsenal. And that's a big problem. I don't feel too exposed having Saka. Maybe that was a bit of a blip. As long as Arteta doesn't put him at left back, I feel okay having Saka. But Lacazette is a problem for me. But then I look at the rest of the forwards in FPL and I'm not really sure where to go outside of Lacazette. So I'm probably going to keep him for the double game week. Then Arsenal have got, you know, a couple of reasonable looking fixtures, United and Leeds at home coming up in 34 and 36. But I'm quite keen on selling him, I have to say.
Yeah, a bit of a mixed double game week for them as well, facing Southampton and then Chelsea. Talking of Southampton, Ian, we haven't mentioned them yet. Any value there or potentially in Burnley or Brighton, the other teams that we haven't covered off that, of course, play twice?
Yeah, the problem is, like Arsenal, those three teams are struggling for a bit of consistency at the minute as well, aren't they? So it's difficult to know exactly what you're going to get. I mean, in terms of Southampton, I do like James Ward-Prowse, 6.4, 7 goals, 4 assists this season. He's not been amazing of late, but set pieces, he's on penalties. And if Southampton tend to do well, James Ward-Prowse tends to be involved some way. Obviously, a lot of us will own their attackers. I don't think they're a sell this week with that double game week coming, but there is a bit of concern over their form. Burnley, I mean, how many of us are keeping faith without Weghorst? I feel like I'll be sat on the beach somewhere in the summer, still insisting that I'm not going to sell Wout Weghorst because he's got doubles coming up, even though the season's over. It just feels like the same thing I've been saying week after week after week. He's not completed even the 90 minutes in the last five games. He only played 55 minutes against Norwich. So there's maybe even some concern about whether he starts the first match of the double against West Ham. He's only had 3 shots on target in his last 6 appearances and 1 big chance during that time. Even Sean Dyche has been talking about how poor his form's been. So if you've got 2 free transfers, if you're playing a free hit, if you're playing a wild card, anything like that, I think he even could be a sell this week. In terms of Brighton, don't bother.
Well, that was nice and simple. Well, that's the double game week players covered off. Now let's turn our attention to the singles. Okay, so 7 teams play twice in double game week 33. But as the panel have been saying, do not ignore some of the single game weeks. We are all guilty of it, aren't we, when we see that a player is playing twice. So come on then, Dan, which single game week players do you think we should definitely be keeping in our teams?
I mean, Kulusevski is the obvious one. I went really early on him, probably one of the only good decisions I've made recently. And it's a bit disheartening when you go early on someone and then everyone else starts jumping on it as the weeks go by. But I think he's been an unbelievable signing for Spurs. And if you just watch him for the eye test as well, he could get more points in games. He makes so much happen and he's involved in so much and he's just completely revitalised that Spurs team. Obviously, they've got Son and Kane, who are fantastic players, but I really think Kulusevski complements them too quite nicely, and he's offering a lot at the moment. I watched him at Villa Park last week. Obviously, he's just such a good player, and if he starts to get more shots off, as I think he might do as the weeks go by, I really think he'll start adding a few more goals to his game. So Kulusevski is the one because he's a good price as well. I can't argue with his price compared to Son and Kane. So as a cheaper asset for Spurs, I think Kulusevski is a must-have.
That's what Ian thought as well before he sold Son Heung-min. However, however, is that a rule we should use in general for Spurs this week, Ian? We've got to keep our Spurs players given the fact they're playing Brighton at home.
Yeah, not to completely contradict what Dan just said, but I'd I think Son and Kane are the two if I'm going to keep anyone. Maybe if budget's an issue, Kulusevski is an option considering how good his form has been, because actually those three are the top scorers in FPL. 1, 2, 3, Kane, Son and Kulusevski, not in that order, but I've said it now. But they are the players who have scored the most points since Kulusevski made his Premier League debut. 10 goal involvements for him in the seven game weeks that he started. Absolutely amazing. But Son and Kane's form has been so good. Spurs' form has been so good. They're almost the form team in the league now, the way that they've been playing. And they're against Brighton as well, who, of course, had that great result against Arsenal, but have been struggling a little bit. But in terms of if you are playing a free hit, you're talking about it earlier on, I think Son or Salah probably in midfield, Kane up front, and one of the premium defenders are almost must-keeps from the single game weekers for this free hit, because like the lads have said earlier, you can almost do too much with a free hit and you end up undermining the team that you had in the first place, which wasn't that bad. So just be careful with that. I think definitely at least one of the Tottenham options, a single game week is to keep, if not two, if not three, if you go with Dan's thinking.
Spurs' defence might be one to look at in the next few weeks. I mean, Villa absolutely battered them in the first half, but still they didn't concede. And Romero, someone who's so, so interesting to me because he's such a unique defender. He gets so tight to attackers. He's pretty much a walking yellow card, but he also gets so far forward and pops up in all kinds of places. I think he's one that could pop up with goals and potentially assists in the coming weeks.
We do have an issue with the Spurs defence, though. So many people invested in Matt Doherty, 4.9 million as it stands, but he did suffer that injury at Villa Park, Lee. That's left us with a bit of a problem, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. I think in the top 100k, he was owned by 67%, so very highly owned Matt Doherty. And for good reason, because we were starting to see the Doherty that we had in FPL at Wolves from a few seasons ago. It really revitalised under Conte. But yeah, a bit of a problem now. I think there's a few different options you can go to. For myself, I've got Doherty. I'll be looking at the Newcastle defence in particular because of all the reasons we mentioned about the Leicester and Crystal Palace games. I think even in game week 34, Newcastle have got Norwich, so they come out of the double into a reasonable fixture before it gets a little bit more difficult for them in game week 35. So, you know, the Newcastle defenders, Fabian Scher, who we mentioned before, definitely on my radar. But yeah, I'm afraid Doherty is now a sell because it looks like he's out for the medium to longer term.
Mo Salah, Ian, he's again one of the most sold players. You mentioned him there as a player to keep. He's had a slight dip in form by his standards and he only plays once this game week, but it is, against Manchester United.
Well, yeah, he got 24 points against them at Old Trafford earlier on in the season and his record in recent times against them, if you even ignore that game, has been really good. I mean, include the game, why not? It makes the stats down better. 7 goals in the last 5 matches for Mo Salah against Manchester United. He didn't start the game in the Champions League, the second leg against Benfica. He came off the bench, but he's rested from that. I'm sure he'll play at Wembley at the weekend, that said. But I don't see him being rotated for this game. And maybe he's not your captain this week, maybe not. Maybe it's an option to have a look elsewhere, but remove him at your peril. To a degree, actually, if you have Mohamed Salah in your team or not on your free hit, could end up dictating whether the free hit is successful or not, because I've seen a lot of free hit teams that are not including Mohamed Salah. And if he has a great game against United, that could completely undermine your free hit, considering how well-owned he is. So, you know, remove him at your peril, maybe.
Ian, what do you think about the matchup between him and Alex Telles on that side? I feel like fairly anecdotally this is. I haven't got any stats to back this up, but I feel like Luke Shaw always has a reasonable game against Salah. It kind of keeps him fairly quiet in those games. But, you know, no Luke Shaw for this week. He's going to be up against Telles. Do you think Salah can get the better of him?
Potentially. But then again, Luke Shaw maybe used to have good games against Mo Salah, but then that stat I just reeled off, 7 goals in the last 5 appearances, and I'm sure Luke Shaw probably started the majority of those. I know that he definitely started the match at Old Trafford and had a really poor game against Salah. So it's Mohamed Salah. There's not many defenders who get the better of him. And United's form, like I said before, is not great. It almost feels like a single game week in some senses, doesn't it, United? Yeah, I just think, yes, his form has not been great of late, but it is Salah and his form over the course of the season has been really, really good. He was an auto-captain, wasn't he, at the start of the season? Maybe that's gone away a little bit. But if he has a really good game against United, it could really undermine free hits, definitely. I think almost that the success of free hits is going to hinge on Salah this week.
He's almost 60% owned as well.
That's
so if you do take him out, you are potentially missing out on points that a lot of other people are going to get. Now, Dan, previously you mentioned Spurs and the fact that you should keep Kulusevski. They've got Brighton at home. Now, Manchester City also have Brighton at home. Given the form they're in, I know they've got a busy fixture list, just like Liverpool. If you've got Manchester City players, do you keep them? Do you play them? Should you even be looking at bringing them in?
It's a difficult one after the Champions League because it was such a heavy night against Atleti on Wednesday that De Bruyne is sat there looking like he could have an injury. Obviously, at the time of recording, we're not sure what's going on with that. They've took a few knocks. You can never trust Pep either. I tend to stay away from Manchester City players because I have the fear that they're not going to play and it scares me too much. So I tend to stay away from them a little bit. I was watching Gundogan last night and he was popping up in the box quite a lot, hit the post in the first half. He obviously had that amazing wild streak last season where he was scoring every single game week. If De Bruyne has got a knock, then you'd expect Gundogan to perhaps play. I don't think De Bruyne will play their game anyway. I would expect him to perhaps come out if he's played in the FA Cup game because that's such as Pep's way. But I think Gundogan is someone who might play a bit more football over the coming weeks. Bernardo Silva's goals have dried up in midfield as well. I've got a feeling Gundogan might start to go on a run, but that's just a gut feeling rather than anything concrete to back it up.
Yeah, and don't forget, Manchester City also play Liverpool in the FA Cup semi-final on Saturday. That is after the FPL deadline, but it will still help us a little bit work out if Kevin De Bruyne is injured, how they're going to function in that midfield and attacking areas without him. Come on then, Ian, any other single game weekers that are potentially catching your eye before we move on?
A little bit painful to say, considering that transfer I spoke about at the start of the show, but Ivan Toney's definitely an option for this week against Watford. Since Christian Eriksen's been in that team, he's been a totally different option for us in FPL. Charlie Austin, I did a show with a few weeks ago, and he was saying just watch him fly as a striker with someone like Christian Eriksen supplying him, I didn't listen, did I, and took him out. But in the matches that he's played with Christian Eriksen, 6 goals and 2 assists in 4 game weeks. Without him, 2 goals and no assists in 10 game weeks. Obviously, the only blank he's had in recent times was that Leicester match, which Eriksen missed with COVID. So if those two are together against Watford, he could be a great option. And a left field one a little bit, a differential if you're looking at making up ground, is Wilfried Zaha. He seems to have revelled in not needing to be the man for Crystal Palace and ended up being the man for Crystal Palace, which was maybe the theory that they should have gone along with the whole time rather than putting too much pressure on him. But his form of late has been really good. I feel like he's been flying under the radar a little bit. 5 goals in the last 6 game weeks, 11 for the season, 6.8 million as well. So a good price. And Crystal Palace's fixtures for the rest of the season look pretty good as well.
Okay, finally, we can't forget the teams that blank: Aston Villa, Wolves and Leeds. Dan, I'll come to you on this as a Villa fan. Is it now time to sell players from those teams?
Unless you have Matty Cash and Jacob Ramsey, I would say yes, because Villa are kind of petering out going towards the end of the season. But they do have a double game week coming up towards the end. Villa have got some kind of fixtures as well from game week 35 onwards. They've got Norwich at home. I think they've got to play Burnley twice. So I think Ramsey and Cash, because of their relative cheapness, they're worth keeping around. You know, clean sheets have pretty much gone out the window for Steven Gerrard's Villa. But Matty Cash looks one of their bigger goal threats from right back. He's been very productive in the second half of the season with a couple of goals and a few assists thrown in there as well. So I think Matty Cash is worth keeping him because he'll play every week. There's no other right back at the football club. So Matty Cash is one to definitely keep in if you've got him, or perhaps think about bringing in. And Jacob Ramsey's been my budget midfielder all season. I mean, at times he's been sat on my bench when he's scored doubles and things like that, which has been frustrating. But he's had a very, very productive season in front of goal as well. Should have perhaps scored against Spurs last week. So Ramsey and Cash would be the ones I'd be looking at if you wanted to have Villa assets. But anyone else at the moment, I'd probably stay clear of.
And quickly, Lee, if you're a Rafinha owner, if you own any Wolves defence, now time to move those on?
Yes, I think it probably is, Kelly. And I think if you're a Rafinha owner, it's probably reluctant, given that he got his first double-digit haul of the season last game week, didn't he? What have they got? Palace away, Man City, I think there's an Arsenal and a Chelsea game in there. So yeah, probably is a reluctant sell for Rafinha. I would ditto for Wolves.
Okay, well, that's a pretty in-depth preview of double game week 33. However, there is still more to come as we dive into some specific fixtures. Game week 33 gets underway at 12:30 on Saturday as Spurs go looking for their fifth league win in a row against Brighton. That means your deadline is 11 a.m. before that. Then there's three 3 p.m. Man United, Norwich, Southampton against Arsenal, and surely a must-win game for Watford at the bottom against an informed Brentford side. On Sunday at 2:15, Newcastle take on Leicester and West Ham host Burnley. There is no late game. Then on Tuesday at 8 o'clock, it's a big one. Liverpool welcoming Manchester United. There's a London derby. Chelsea host Arsenal, Everton, Leicester and Newcastle Palace. They're all on Wednesday at 7:45. And 15 minutes later, it is Manchester City versus Brighton. It then wraps up on Thursday with Burnley against Southampton at Turf Moor. Let's dive into three of those fixtures specifically then. Ian has taken a look at Spurs versus Brighton. We've already spoken about a lot of the Spurs players. Any interest elsewhere, Ian?
The one player that I'm even considering bringing in, maybe, if I'm pushing myself a little bit, is Sergio Reguilon. I mean, he's been really unreliable. I think I should probably say that at this point, considering he's only completed the 90 minutes three times in the last 18 matches. But that said, when he has been playing, when he has been on the pitch, and Ryan Sessegnon is still injured at the moment, along with Doherty that we've already talked about, he's brilliant as an FPL option. Absolutely brilliant. His XG is higher than any other defender in the game when he's been playing recently. 5.1 million he is. He's Spurs' top FPL scorer for the season as well. 2 goals and 4 assists. In the matches that he's played. There's Emerson Royale, who's a bit more boring, maybe on the other flank, 4.5 million. Maybe a bit more guaranteed to play, though, and a little bit more reliable for minutes. He did score recently against Newcastle, but if you are looking for a defender and you're not too bothered about the doubles, Reguilon could be amazing as an option over these next few weeks with Spurs' form, and if he's going to get, finally, Conte's trust and also get his fitness as well, I think he's a great option.
Yeah, another shout there, potentially another defensive option. As Dan said before, now we don't have Matt Doherty, but you should potentially be looking at Spurs' defence given the way they played at Villa Park. Plus, of course, we've waxed lyrical so much recently about Harry Kane, Dejan Kulusevski and Son Heung-min. Okay, let's move on to the next fixture that Lee has taken an interest in, unsurprisingly, in our group WhatsApp. When I said, guys, which fixtures would you like to go for? Yep, you guessed it. Lee went for Liverpool, Man United.
Yeah, of course I'm going to go for this one. And I've got to be careful I don't set myself up for a fall here because I'm heavily backing my team Liverpool to do well here. I mean, the form guide suggests a home win, doesn't it? And I want to pick on some comments that Ralph Rangnick made after the previous game against Everton. He was talking about the fact that, you know, defensively they look okay, but it's going forward, it's creating chances that's the problem for them. And against Norwich, I expect Bruno to play higher up and kind of support Ronaldo from that perspective. But against Liverpool, I think they might struggle to create again. And again, if you look back at Liverpool playing in the Champions League this week, it was a full rest for Trent and for Robertson. So I think if you've got either of those two guys in your team, then you absolutely play them against Manchester United. And I think there could be clean sheets and there could be some assist potential from both of those guys as well. As you've already mentioned, Kelly, it's difficult from a Liverpool perspective coming into game week 33 because the deadline will have already passed and Liverpool will then play against Manchester City in the FA Cup by the time Tuesday rolls around and this game actually hits our screen. So I guess we're kind of hoping that Trent and Robertson or any of the Liverpool assets that you've got in your FPL team come through that City Cup game unscathed. But if they do, I certainly, as a Trent and Robertson owner, will be hoping for both clean sheets and some attacking potential going into that Manchester United game. But as we said before, you know, it's a big game. Anything can happen. And if there is a team out there in the Premier League that's looking to spoil the Liverpool run-in, then it's going to be Manchester United.
And finally, Dan, an all-London affair. Lots of FPL managers will have a lot of Arsenal players this week, as we've been saying, but their second double fixture against Chelsea looks pretty tricky.
Yeah, I think if you've got Arsenal assets, you've probably had them for a long time now. I think I'd stay away from bringing in specific Arsenal players for this double game week just because of this game at Chelsea. I think Arsenal have got a really bad record at Stamford Bridge over the years, and Chelsea still have things to play for because they want to cement third and make sure that they get third. So I can see Chelsea going strong for the next few weeks. Obviously, they've had that 120 minutes against Real Madrid and they've got an FA Cup semi-final as well. So I expect Tuchel to lean on his squad quite heavily. The person I'm looking at mainly for this one would be Mason Mount. He feels like he's come into a little bit of goal-scoring form. He feels like he's the most reliable pick for Tuchel, in that Tuchel's always going to pick Mason Mount over anyone if he's fit. I feel when he's in the goals, Mason Mount, he'll quite often score in consecutive games. So I'm starting to think that Mason Mount's someone worth bringing in for this game week. I've got Reece James sat in my team, who I've gone early on, and he's just been sat on the bench in the Premier League. I've had problems with fullbacks all season, but I think now they're out of the Champions League, I think Reece James will probably come back into some form. So if you're looking to have someone different to Trent and Cancelo, I think Reece James is someone that's worth looking at in the next few weeks. And I think against Arsenal, he's already scored against them this season. I think he could be someone that's worth getting into your team. I'm just thinking back to that for that game early on in the season when Chelsea went to Arsenal and won, and Lukaku was tearing it up, and you think he's going to be an absolute demon in fantasy football this season, but he probably won't be anywhere even near the bench this time round. So yeah, I think Reece James and Mason Mount would be the two that I would look at for this fixture.
Dan, what's your thoughts on Timo Werner? So just, he's passed the eye test for me last couple of games. I think he was, despite the ultimate result against Real Madrid, he played really well. And again, week 32, he had a stormer as well. I actually noticed that for non-penalty XGI, so that's if you take penalties out of it, how many goals we expect FPL players to be involved in. He's second over the last six game weeks. So he's kind of hit a little bit of a purple patch, Werner. And I wonder whether he could be an option for us.
I don't think he's doing anything actually different to what he's done the whole time he's been at Chelsea. He just seems to have had a little bit more luck.
Put the ball in the back of the net. Goal, that feels
which,
different.
Yeah, well, it's weird to say he's had a little bit of luck, because I think he hit the woodwork three times against Southampton as well, but still came back with a really good points haul. It feels like he's just got that little bit of confidence now, Werner, that perhaps he was lacking in previous weeks. So he's definitely someone to keep an eye on, because as I say, Lukaku's absolutely nowhere near it. In games where Havertz doesn't start, which you imagine there might be one coming up because he's played a lot of games recently, Werner might end up playing centrally, although I actually always think he's better on the left than he is centrally. But he's always on the move, Werner. He's always a willing runner, always trying to beat the offside trap. A bit of confidence, you never know, he could end up in the goals in the next few weeks.
Yeah, Chelsea could well be very interesting for the run-in, because they are, of course, now out of the Champions League, and they've got some nice fixtures ahead as well. A reminder, they do play in the FA Cup semi-final on Sunday as well against Crystal Palace. But as we've been saying, those FA Cup semi-finals come after this week's FPL deadline. Well, that's your big double game week 33 preview almost complete. Now it's on to transfers and captains. So it's that time in the podcast where we see what our panel have made of what we've said so far. Maybe we've changed their plans. Maybe we've given them some insight. Dan Bardell, I'm looking at you. I know at the beginning of the podcast, you were hoping to maybe get some clarity over what you're going to do with your team.
I mean, if I wasn't confused before, then I'm definitely confused now after doing this podcast. I thought it was going to be a good thing coming on this podcast, but I'm not sure it has been at all for me. I'm looking at Ronaldo, I think, with that double game week. There's always the off chance he might score against Liverpool, but that game, Norwich at home, he's speaking to me and saying he's not someone that many people are probably going to lean on this week. So just do something different. Get Ronaldo in. As much as, you know, I've thought about the chips throughout doing this podcast, I'm going to stick to my gut and not do it this week, because as I said earlier on in the podcast, I think you can get lulled into a false sense of doing too much, and I don't want to do that. So I'm going to save my chip. And yeah, I think Ronaldo is going to be the one for me this week. He's going to come in and rescue my season.
Watch this space. Lee, what about you? What's your plans with your team?
So I've got a bit of a problem in my defence, Kelly, to sort out. Doherty injured, you know, Roberts losing his place. And then I've got Hwang in my front line as well, who, you know, blanks this game week. So got to do something about Doherty. Looking to bring in Cancelo, but I'm about 0.5, 0.6 away from doing that. So if I take some money out of Hwang, bring him down to Geldhart, maybe that would give me the money I need. So a little bit of, you know, minor surgery needed just to get from Doherty up to a Cancelo or maybe a Laporte or somebody else in that City defence.
I like the sound of those moves. Ian, what about you? Are your moves, am I going to like them, or are they going to be a repeat of your recent moves?
Yeah, I hope they go better than them. I've got two free transfers. I've got Doherty injured. I've got Rafinha blanking, and I've got Weghorst in poor form, to be polite. So they're the three on the chopping block. I don't think I'll do all three because I don't need to for my 11, but I probably will want to do maybe two of those. And the players that I'm most likely to bring in, I would say, are Cher in the defence, Madison in midfield, and Chris Wood up front, actually. I think Chris Wood is a little bit of a roll of the dice, but considering he's on penalties now, considering the fixtures are probably just about the best double that we've got as well. And it's like the reverse Sean Dyche, isn't it, really? It's Veghorst out and Wood in rather than the other way around. So they don't excite me too much, those moves, if I'm honest. There's options maybe to downgrade someone, to bring in someone a little bit more sexy maybe. But at the moment, they're the biggest considerations, really. They're the most likely things I'm going to do.
It's not quite as exciting as Dan's potential Ronaldo triple captain, Ian.
No, exactly. And that's what you want in a double game week, don't you? You want something to hang your hat on, to really back and stick your neck on the line a little bit. I'm trying to think of more cliches to say. But yeah, definitely would be nice to do something a little bit more exciting. I was trying to work out a way to get Bruno in, but it's going to end up being a ridiculous hit. And yeah, I just don't think I'm going to do that.
Okay, so you're not too excited by your transfers. Is your captain any more exciting?
I think it's just going to be Harry Kane at the moment.
I'd say Harry Kane is pretty exciting, Ian. I think your pick, though, Dan, is going to be even more exciting.
Viva Ronaldo.
As
we've gone through, I have to do it because it's the first time I've come on the podcast and I've given it the big one. So I, at the very least, have to captain him, whether I triple captain him. And in a moment of panic, he's yet to be seen. But yeah, Ronaldo, I've convinced myself with that high percentage of his points coming at home, the fact they're playing Norwich, that could be a key differential for me.
Hat-trick at home last time out against Tottenham as well. There you go. Missed the Leicester game, didn't it? So, yeah.
Yeah. And football's a simple game. If you can score a hat-trick against Spurs, you can score a hat-trick against Norwich.
How often do players score hat-tricks in back-to-back home games?
Probably never.
I'll leave you with that, Dan.
Ian, you lured him in with one stat and then completely brought him back down to earth with that. Anyway, Lee, what about you? Your captain, are you going with Harry Kane?
It's difficult, isn't it, this week? I'm obviously tempted by the Spurs boys, but I can't get over how well Brighton nullified Arsenal last game week, and in particular with Mwepu in midfield. They were really good. So I'm not backing Spurs to go too crazy against Brighton. I back the win, but I'm not backing a big win. But I look at the Liverpool game, same as Dan, I've kind of bigged up, you know, my team earlier in the podcast, and I've kind of made my bed a little bit with Salah. And the underlying stats for Salah, as I said before, you know, look really good. He is, I hate to use this word, but due to get back into form, isn't he? So I think I'm going to back the Egyptian king, you know. So it will be somebody from a single game week, which in a double game week feels very unusual, but I think I'm going to go with somebody from Liverpool.
Interesting. I like it when there's a nice spread of captaincy as well. If that's reflective of all FPL managers, we could see a lot of movement in mini leagues this week. Well, Ian, Lee and Dan, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure as always. The very best of luck. A final reminder to those of you listening, your deadline is on Saturday at 11 a.m. UK time. And also a reminder to check out fantasy.premierleague.com and the Premier League app for more hints and tips. Enjoy double game week 33, and we'll be back next Thursday.